بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبله وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده، الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وعجزت عن نعته أوهام الواصفين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، سيما بقية الله العظام، بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين، ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم أجمعين، من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم، والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. We seek help and assistance from the Imam of our time to open our hearts towards the Ma'arif of Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, by which and through which we become faithful and sincere servants of the Imam and servants of the Maktab, the school of Masumin alayhi salam. In order to have a good understanding of the sermon of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which is the topic of our discussion, the sermon which was delivered on the eve of Ashura, the ninth night after Maghribain or Maghrib prayers, apparently, where he invited all of his companions and family members and he delivered the sermon. It requires a premise, and that's what we were kind of discussing last night in regards to the ma'rifat, in regards to the understanding and the knowledge which the anbiya and the awliya are responsible, or not just responsible, would love to deliver to mankind, to humanity, because that is the sole purpose of theirs. And the progress and development of human society, of human civilization, is based upon this ma'rifat that is delivered by the anbiya and awliya. And what we see and which we call as progress, which we call as development, which we call as the best of civilization that mankind have ever seen, because they have landed in Mars or they have landed in Moon and we have advanced so much, this is all rather than development, or rather than progress, is the, you know, it's not really advancement. It's, you know, I would say man have gone back, because the sciences that they have or the knowledge that they have is not based upon the ma'rifat or upon the justice of God as such. Because the ma'rifat and the knowledge and the understanding which has been delivered by the Masumin alayhi salam, by the Anbiya and Awliya, was very different. I mean, nevertheless, the mankind that they are benefiting today is from the Anbiya and Awliya themselves. They were the one who introduced the sciences. For example, the Quran regards the clothing industry that we have today. The art of needle and thread was the sana, or the industry, or the methodology was created by Prophet Idris alayhi salam. You know, he was the one who invented that, the needle and thread and stitching. The art of making dams, you know, sad, as they say, you know, where to control the water from destroying the towns and villages. It was done by Prophet Zulqarnain, or Zulqarnain alayhi salam, in the Quran. And you find inventions done by the prophets. Based upon what? Based upon that ma'rifat, upon that knowledge which has been provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The art of medicine that we have, which was given to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. You know, he was the doctor, and he had reached the point where he could revive people from death. That was the extreme. Where did he get that from? Where did Prophet Idris get that from? Where did Hazrat Zulqarnain get that from? Or the governance of Hazrat Sulaiman? He was the king, and he would deliver, and he would attend to the needs of people. Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, all of these prophets, all of these anbiya, they were provided with that ma'rifat, with that knowledge through which the society, the communities, the civilizations developed. And these civilizations, this development and progress was not detrimental to any creation. And as they, you know, that this word is very beautiful in Farsi, they jan bande, you know, they say it's like any sort of life, any creature, this progress of, based upon the ma'rifat, upon the knowledge which was done by the Anbiya, was not detrimental to any creature, because it was based on justice. But what we see of progress today, what we see of development today, is detrimental, you know. And unfortunately, we tend to pay less attention towards these things. When it comes to halal and haram, we are like very adamant about it. But when it comes to technology and that very phone that we are using, and the amount of, you know, work ethics that they do not follow, for example, you know, it's designed in California but it's assembled in China, and how much they really pay, and how, what sort of suffering these Chinese children and, you know, poor people goes through. But when it comes to halal and haram, we are on the first rank, first row. You know, is it halal or not? You know, when it comes to gelatin, we are the first. But when it comes to really using these things, we don't really think of that what has gone behind this technology, and we regard it to be as progress. We regard this as development of humankind, of human race, of modern civilization. And the effect of it upon the environment, you know, that we see today, through what? Through the development of humankind, of human race, of human civilization, right? And if this knowledge and if this development was based upon that ma'rifat, was based upon the knowledge of the Anbiya which was brought, it will be very different. The world will be very different today. I mean, last night we mentioned in regards to whenever you remember Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or you are in trouble, cry for the musibat of Imam Hussein. Does it really mean that cry because Imam Hussein suffered, who am I to really suffer? That's one. But the deeper meaning is that if Imam Hussein alayhi salam wasn't killed in that way that he was killed, I wouldn't be suffering anymore. You know, there would be no zulm. There will be justice. As Imam Hussain suffered that way, I am suffering because of that. You see. So therefore, the Anbiya and Awliya and the knowledge which was brought wasn't really taken by the mankind, and it was left behind. You know, the modern ways that we have is detrimental to the environment. Because the environment, according to the Anbiya, according to the Quran, is amana. You know, it's a trust given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. Any creation, any invention that is detrimental to the atmosphere, to the ozone layer, you know, to the those fishes that are there in that ocean, you know, the Anbiya and Awliya wouldn't have done that. But today it's completely the opposite. So shall we call this progress, or shall we call this development, or what? Or advancement? Is this really that? So, the purpose, the sole purpose of Masumeen, the sole purpose of the Prophets and Awliya was to deliver that ma'rifat. You know, many question that, why is it that so much emphasis on the Islamic studies and hawzas, and you have, you know, about spirituality. We Muslims really need to be in the field of science, in the field of, you know, different fields. Yes, that is true, that is good. See, it's the other way. When a person is well-versed in the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically the doors towards any science or any sort of justified development required by insan to reach will be opened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that's what Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was. That's what all the Anbiya were. You know, they were they were full, they were perfect in terms of their understanding of the divine. Through that, Allah inspired them, and by which they, you know, provided that to, you know, to their society, and that's how it improved. So therefore, you know, the sole purpose of them was to really deliver that ma'rifah, that understanding, and through which heaven will open up, doors will open up, and that's what the Imam of our time, when he returns, will do that, will provide that knowledge by which a person will cannot imagine where he would reach. Because that knowledge is based on justice. And there is help from the unseen as well. You know, komakai ghaibi, as they say. You know, for example, what we see in regards to those who are sincerely working for the cause of the Imam of our time, for the cause of Deen and Islam, yes, they get stuck. You know, all these sanctions that we see, obviously it's big, it breaks the back of a nation if that happens. But because that ghaib, believing in the ghaib is there, there's nusrat, there is help that comes from nowhere. You know, it might not lead them to be, you know, the first in the whole globe or in the whole world, but still, you know, when it comes to launching a satellite in space, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, which all the riches and no sanctions whatsoever, but we find, for example, the country which has so much of sanctions left and right, they have launched a satellite in space. It's pure, you know, bringing the drone, for example. You know, all of that is, the technology is there, but one should really be cautious here as well, that one should not be carried away with that and develop in the same fashion that the West have developed. You know, it's like, you know, if the West and the knowledge where the West has taken them, and if we go in the same direction of that, then we'll reach the same place where they have reached, which is the dead end. So rather, one really have to have that understanding of the ghaib and of the true ma'rifat, of that justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then use this as a tool, but at the same time develop that pure sciences which is needed, which is lacking as a matter of fact. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And what could be the greatest of all, or the source of all ma'rifat, which is the Quran itself? Asa an yab'asaka, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, that perhaps I would provide you, you know, I will do the bi'asat, I will nominate you with a maqam and mahmuda, you know, with a maqam, with a position, with a station, which is called as maqam and mahmud, which is not in this dunya, which is in the hereafter. Why? Because of the ma'rifat of Rasulullah, the ma'rifat that he has. Because of that, he will be provided with that sort of station. It is like saying, you know, is it possible to really fill the whole Pacific Ocean in one glass? It's not possible at all. That Maqam al-Mahmud is that of the Prophet. Why? Because of that ma'rifat. Because of what he has brought, which is the Quran. And it is this Quran which we have is Quran al-Labzi. You know, there. It really requires the deeper understanding of that Quran, which is with the Anbiya and Awliya, because they have that ma'rifat, right? And Allama Majlisi, we are talking about, you know, 1600s and before, right? When he was preparing his students, and he used to, you know, send them in different villages to tabligh, he has an article, or he had mentioned that when he wanted to do tafsir, he wanted to see how many tafasir have been done. This is like about 400 more years ago we are talking about. There are about 20,000 tafasir of the Quran in that period we are talking about. And up until now we don't know how many. Just to really have a deeper understanding of the Quran, to really know what Quran is saying. At that time it was 20,000. They asked Allama Tabatabai, that with all these 20,000, and then after that, you know, with the tafasir and understanding of the Quran, have we really understood the Quran? He says, from the period that tafsir of Quran started, the Mufassir Awwal, not the Masumin, because they have the Marifat of the Quran, right? Which is Ibn Abbas, who was the Mufassir Awwal. From till that time, till me, for example, because he has a very, you know, a magnum opus work upon the Quran, which is 20 volume of Mizan, you know, which took 30 years for him to finish. You know, Allama. And it's a work that one of his servants who brought him up, because he died at a year, you know, when he was 6 years old, his parents died. And in Tabriz, he had a dream that the mother of Allama comes and says that I'm Shaki. So she complains that Allama have done a marvelous work of tafsir and he hasn't given me anything from it. In the person who was, you know, servant of Allama's house. And then Allama, this servant was at a very old age, goes to the house of Muhammad Hassan, which was the other brother of Allama Tabatabai, and mentions this dream. However, he doesn't know that tafsir have been returned and all that, but still, you know. And then Muhammad Hassan reports to his brother saying that this is what happened. And Allama says that this is really nothing. I never regarded this of some value that I could even give this sawab to my mother. But now that the dream have come, I would dedicate this Quran to my mother if there be any sawab. You know, this is the humility of the scholar. 30 years to write that tafsir. You know, where does he get that from? From that very prophet who stands on the mimbar and he says that if I am taken to Jannah, it is because of Fazl Ilahi. I mean, that's the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the Anbiya and Awliya have, and they deliver that. And the students are like that. So here, Allama says that from Ibn Abbas till Awwal till now, we have just reached the shore of the Quran. We haven't really entered the water itself to really know what Quran is. So this is the Quran, and how much of the Quran is practiced by us, for instance, you know, how much really is seen in our actions, where the actions of Anbiya and Awliya is the Quran, isn't it? The Masumeen alayhi salam, innama waliyakumullah wa rasule, right? The one who gives zakat in ruku. That ayah comes after that Waliullah gives charity in ruku, right? So their actions are the Quran because of that marifat. And the Quran is seen in their actions. You know, it's both. When they act, it becomes the Quran, and they act on the Quran as well. You know, the Surah Dahr is another example of that. You know, Surah Adiyat is another example of that. So therefore, it is that marifat and understanding which they really want to deliver. And we, as a follower of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and school of Masumin alayhi salam, must engage ourselves in increasing our understanding, our marifat of things. Otherwise, we are considered to be a loser. You know, marifat is not just understanding, it comes with action as well. You know, when a person have that knowledge, he will act upon it. You know, there's a very beautiful hadith from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. If you recite another salawat, ala Muhammad wa ala. He says, la yuqbalu al-amal illa bi-ma'rifah. You know, amal is not accepted unless there is ma'rifat of that amal, you know, of that action. That, and there's darajat of it. You know, there's a daraja which is on a lower level. It's on a, you know, it's one amal, but a person who is carrying out that amal is on different levels. I mean, that's the beauty of ma'rifat. And that's the beauty of our school, that it delivers on all different levels. So, لا يقبل الأمل إلا بمعرفة ولا معرفة إلا بأمل. And there is no ma'rifat unless until there is amal on it, unless or until there is action about it. And in another hadith, the Prophet has أَفْضَلُكُمْ إِيمَانًا أَفْضَلُكُمْ مَعْرِفَةً. You know, the best of you amongst you is the one who have the best of understanding, who have the best of ma'rifat. So the determination of a person being good or the best is really that understanding, is really that ma'rifat. And that sermon of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, where he delivers before leaving Medina, where he talks about إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا خَلَقَ لِخَلَقِ اللَّهِ, you know, why Allah have created the creation. خَلَقَ اللَّهَ لِيَعْرُفُهُ, you know, He has created the creation that He be recognized and known. It is that ma'rifat. And obviously he links this ma'rifat when a person stands up and asks him that, you know, مَا مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ, you know, what is really مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. He says the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ma'rifat of the Imam of the time. So therefore, it's a complete connection of the Imam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No wonder the ashab of Imam Hussain alayhi salam was with the Imam in the eve of Ashura. If they did not have the ma'rifat of the Imam of our time, they wouldn't be there. As they have the complete ma'rifat of the Imam of the time, by which and because of which they are there, they have the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why they are known as, you know, those who are in muhabbat, in love with the God. You know, Rabbaniyun, you know, they have the title of the one who are, you know, considered to be the people of the God. You know, to that level, to that extent. So therefore, the key of our development is based upon this understanding. And it's just 2-3 lines khutbah, but if a person have that ma'rifat and understand what is in it, then obviously he will have a deeper understanding of it. And the best of ma'rifat, obviously, is the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in it. A couple of hadiths in regards to the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Man arafa Allah kamulat ma'rifatu. A person who have ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has perfected his understanding. Remember we said, in terms of the knowledge, if a person, you know, invest in knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through that he will know other things. So the Amirul Mu'mineen is saying the same thing here. He says, Man arafa Allah, a person who recognizes and understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has perfected his ma'rifat, his understanding. Because that will transcend and transfer in other things. You know, remember, I think I mentioned this last year, Sayyid Qazi, his son was into ulum-e gharibe. Sayyid Qazi Tabatabai, the teacher of Allama. And he was into Jafar and numerology and all that. And his father will always ask him not to get into these things, you know, get into, you know, tafsir, Quran, spirituality. So once he got stuck in some sort of theorem that he was doing of Jafar, and his father was passing by and he saw the jadwal, you know, the what do you call, the diagram that he was trying to resolve in that ilm Jafar, you know, in that ulum gharibe, he looks at it and he says, you place this number there, that number there. And he said, he did exactly how his father was saying, and the sum was resolved. He said, how did you know? I never saw you, and you always ask me not to do. It's because of ma'rifat of Allah. And that's what Masumeen alayhim salam, you know, they say, bi-idhnillah, we know things. You know, if Allah wants to deliver that, we would know. You know, if we want to know the ghaib, if we want to know the, you know, the alchemy of things, that's how they turn the dust to gold. That's how they speak to the animals. It's because of that ma'rifat. It is a science, you know, relating to the animal, turning the dust to gold. It's an alchemy, it's a science. But they have invested in ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through that, they have that capability to do so. So that is what it is required. And, you know, one note on our youngsters and youth, you know, all of these du'as for doing good in our exams and all that, it has a great deal of effect. Recitation of Quran, you know, I always mention this, it really increases your concentration span. You know, you have fatha, you have kasra, you have dhamma. You know, you're reading one after the other. You have to really focus on all these things. All of these senses are really exercising, and it's giving you sort of, you know, it's waking you up. And when you use that, when you are practicing that, this will help you when you are doing your maths, when you are doing your other stuff. So that's what it is. So therefore, the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the practices and the amal of it, you know, will help us develop. In another hadith, it says from Amirul Mumineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, ma yusirruni law mittu tiflan. I do not like to die young. You know, I do not like to die young. Wa adkhiltu al-jannah, and I enter paradise. You know, that's not the hadaf, that's not the goal. Because we say every child who dies, you enter paradise. But rather, walam akbur fa'arifu rabbi azza wa jal. But rather, I become an adult and I have the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is, the purpose is not, as we were saying, you know, the value of a man is based on his ma'rifat, and the sawab that he will be given is on the basis of the ma'rifat. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals, right? So therefore, Hazrat Amir is saying, entering paradise is not it, but rather knowing God. You know, that is the purpose. That is more valuable or more important. So the Masumeen alayhim salam have continuously, till the last second, till the last minute, tried their level best to deliver that to mankind, because their development is in the ma'rifat. Now, the other aspect of the ma'rifat which bring about adab, you know, this is like two wings which I wanted to discuss these two things tonight. One is the ma'rifat, and the other is adab, or the etiquette or moral, which is also very important. You know, if there is ma'rifat, if there is understanding, then the adab comes, and that has to be there. And that's what we find in the ashab and the awlad of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. You know, they had that ma'rifat, and at the same time they had that adab. You know, Hazrat Hur, you know, he had that adab. You know, there's two things there. One is the ma'rifat that he has. That's why he says that I wouldn't say what you have told me. You know, that is why he is praying behind Imam Hussain alayhi salam. You know, after a lengthy discussion, maybe an hour or so, between Imam Hussain and Hur, you know, the time of Salat comes, Imam Hussain says, now is the time of prayers. He, you know, calls his people, he establishes Jamaat. Hur also joins him and prays behind him. Imam says, you go pray there with your men. Hur prays behind him. Because he has the ma'rifat. You know, he has that ma'rifat. And then there is adab as well, where Hazrat Hur alayhi salam controls himself. When he says, may your mother cry on you, meaning that it would have been better that you died as soon as you were born than what you're doing today. Then he doesn't reply. He did not reply. But he replies in by saying that if it was not you, you know, because Hur was a renowned, you know, well-known warrior, you know, I would have shown, I would have given the answer with my sword. But he did not. Your mother is Sayyidatun Nisa'il Alameen. Your mother is the daughter of the Prophet. Your mother is the wife of Amirul Mumineen. You know, is that the adab? So the adab is also very important. And that's why we tend to see that our ulama, scholars, and our poets. Just read one poetry from Sa'di, where he says that مقامات مرد از مردی شنو نه از سعدی. You know, Sa'di is a great poet. His teacher was Sohrawardi. You know, Sohrawardi, a very great sort of illuminist philosopher who established the school of illumination, Ishraq. And apparently they were in a boat together, and Sa'di says this, مقامات مردی, you know, the levels, you know, the maqamah, the stations of mard, you know, of rijal, of a man. You know, you should hear that from who? You should hear that from a mard, you know, from a man, not from Sa'di. You know, what he says, نه از سوروارد نه از سعدی از سوروردی شنو but rather listen or hear from سوروردی ما را شیخ دانا مرشد شهاب دو آن درس فرمود در روح آب my شیخ دانا knowledgeable مرشد obviously he was the مرشد and he was the شیخ شهاب his name was شهاب الدین سهروردی two lessons he gave me on فرمود در روح آب upon the آب they were in a ship or something boat یکی از آن که در نفس خود بین نباش the first lesson is in your do not be selfish do not see yourself as of value do not regard yourself as something that I am something I have this, I have that. You know, I'm the strongest one. You know, it's nothing. It's just, as they say, bad. You know, it's like just that one breath, that air. That's what it is. If air takes a person high, it will bring him down in the same fashion as it has taken him. You know, on air, if a person becomes famous, on air meaning on air, the same thing, that very air is what? It's just one breath that goes inside and comes out. And even we do not even have that ikhtiyar. To really, if it goes inside, the possibility of not coming out is there. It is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, not looking at our own nafs, not being selfish, not being arrogant, all the problem lies because of that. You know, darse adabe. This is the lesson of etiquette and moral. And the first lesson, two things he said. One is khud bin nawash. Do not see yourself. We are nothing. You know, insan, ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara, is faqir. He has nothing. When he regards him of something, that comes about. That's where the problem comes. And see, one of the best way of tarbiyat, you know, we tend to think that when a child does something, we get upset and we react to it. This is not tarbiyat. This is a reaction. Because you're upset, you're telling the person off and thinking that you're doing tarbiyat. You know, a tarbiyat is a when you have hilm. You know, when you are in full control. And then after that, you do tarbiyat. You know, after that, you sort of show him the way, what is... Because you, when you are doing it, you are influenced by your anger, by your sort of emotionality that has come about. And you're doing it right away, based on that. Not on the basis, you know, like it's a quick decision, as we were talking about, quick decisions are usually wrong. Because it doesn't have that marifat, doesn't have that understanding. So therefore, you know, a true tarbiyat, ta'dib, as they say, you know, adab, to teach adab, is that one should be in full control. And then after that one delivers it. You know, one sort of response or to what has happened. You know, it's hilm. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, halim. You know, that's what it means, in full control. He controls, you know, his anger. وَكَازِمِينَ الْغَيْسِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ as the Quran says, you know, those who have that chasm, who can control their anger, and they are forgiving. You know, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and He would like to see that in His creation as well. You know, that's what adab, you know, so when a person is not khudbin, when he regards himself as nothing, you know, what is the source of anger? The source of anger is that I was not respected. I asked that kid to turn that channel or turn that TV off, he did not listen to me. I get angry because I have asked him to do so, because I have an authority. I am something, I am of some value. And that is why my opinion or my sort of command wasn't listened, and I'm getting upset. But when one regards oneself as nothing, then there is no sort of a reaction to what has happened. But rather one would be outside the whole, you know, situation. He would observe that. And then, you know, advise and then sort of look into what's going on. So this is hadith from our Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He says there are three things and there's nothing higher than these three things. One, he says, the first thing is that is called husnul adab, you know, good morals. It's considered to be the best thing. There is nothing higher than that. You know, it is that important. You know, as we were saying, that this is one of the wing of ma'rifat. You know, one might have that ma'rifat and he doesn't have that adab, then he is arrogant. You know, because he has the ma'rifat, he has the knowledge and understanding. But he doesn't have the other wing, which is adab. You know, he must have adab. So therefore, that's the first wing, where he says, first the first thing, he says that the greatest thing is that adab. In another hadith, he says that for ta'dib of yourself, this itself is best, that you should be away from that which you don't like in others. To, you know, rectify ourselves, to have adab, to have moral, the best thing is to see that, you know, you should not have those things that you don't like in others. You know, if I don't like a person who is greedy, if I don't like a person who is lying, if I don't like a person who is cheating, if I don't like a person who becomes angry, arrogant, the best way to create that ta'dib moral in me is that I do not have those things in me. Afdalul adab, he says, the best of adab is that he remains in his limits and do not exceed. You know, Amirul Mumineen. The best of adab is that which protect you from haram. You know, that is the best of adab. A person might be very good, mutakhalliq, in terms of akhlaq, but at the same time, if he is indulging in things which are haram, that is not adab. You know, it's not really affecting him. It's like as-salat tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. You know, it is the prayers that will protect me from the fahsha, from the corruption, and from those things which are munkarat, which have been prohibited, right? I'm praying, but if it is not affecting me, if it is not protecting me, then that is not really salat. There is something wrong there. My salat should do that. The prayers of Hazrat Hur protected him from committing haram. That was salat. And that salat, once again, was based on that ma'rifat. And he had that adab. You know. And he clearly says that I never realized that they would do such a thing. That they will surround you and they will decide that they're going to kill you in the morning of Ashura. He speaks to Umar Asad, have you really decided? Are you really serious to really kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam? He says, yes, this is the command of Amirul Mumineen Ibn Ziyad. That's what he says. And if you do not, you are going against the command. You know. Then Qure, I think, was the ghulam of Hazrat Hur. You know, he sees him that Hur is in a very stressful state. And he has never seen Hur in such a state. Another ulam also reports the same. And he asks him that, why don't you take my steed, my horse, and water him? Then Qure says that I realize that Hur is trying to flee from this battle. And that's what he did. As soon as the horse was taken, you know, Hazrat Hur alayhi salam rides on another savari, on another sort of ride, and he goes towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And while he was going, another ghulam approaches him and he says, have you decided to leave? Then he says that I see myself between heaven and earth, paradise and hell, paradise and hell. And I would never give, you know, paradise, even if be that I be killed 1,000 times. And he goes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When he comes near Imam Hussein, there are two traditions. One is that he throws himself from the steed and he crawls, you know, as if a prisoner have come to Imam Hussein, seeks forgiveness. One says that no, he was still on the steed and he seeks forgiveness to Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein replies that yes, your sin, your tawbah is accepted. It's qabool. We have forgiven you. And he says that as I am the reason that you are grounded in this wilderness, I would like to go and sacrifice myself first before anyone of your companion on the day of Ashura. And Imam Hussein grants him permission. He goes and he delivers a khutbah, you know, reminds him of the relationship of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to Amirul Mumineen. See, this, even in the Masaib, you have to take a look that these are the warriors who have come from Syria. And Syria wasn't a place that have always spoken good about Amirul Mumineen, about, you know, Hassanain. They have always propagated against them. So, in Imam Hussain always reminded them, and the other Ashab reminded them, he is the grandson of the Prophet, he is the son of Amirul Mumin, he is the son of Fatima, they are the Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. Very basic things they are reminding them. You know, they are Muslims and they know that, right? So here Hur did that, and then Hur returns back. Here another riwayat says that Hur seeks permission to go to the tents of women and children and seek forgiveness. As soon as Hur comes there, he says, he gives salams to the Assalamu alaykum ya Ahl Baytun Nabuwa. And then he says that it is me who have brought you here. And I owe an apology. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be here in this state. And he comes down from the mount as soon as he hear the cries and lamenting of the women and children, and he puts the sand on his face and he starts slapping his face while crying. And this lady supported Hur, accepted the apology of Hur, and said, Hur, go and sacrifice. And here Hur, when he goes to the battle, Umar Asad says it's not easy to control Hur, because he was there. No one knew a strong warrior like Hur in Kufa. He was very famous. He was attacked from all different sides. And when he falls from his mount, as all shuhada, they all give salams to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. But never he realized that Hussein will attend to him. Because Hussein, where is Hussein and where is Hur? But all of a sudden Hur notices, after that dust settles down, he sees his head in the lap of Hussein. And Hussein was cleaning the blood and the dust that appeared, that was on the face of Hur, and trying to tie up the wound that he has on his forehead with the handkerchief that was given by Fatima. And here Hur speaks to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and he says that now I know, when Umar Asad asked me to go and stop you from going to Kufa, a voice appeared from nowhere and gave me that glad tidings, O Hur, you are the chosen one, you are free. And now I realize that why that voice came. And here is Hur in the lap of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, gazing at the face of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and Imam Hussein crying on the sacrifice of Hur and saying that, O Hur, I give you the glad tidings of the paradise. Rasulullah is waiting for you. Indeed, O Hur, your mother have named you right. Look first what Imam Hussein alayhi salam have said, O Hur, may your mother cry on you. And now look what Imam Hussein alayhi salam is saying to Hur. O Hur, your mother have named you right. Why Imam Hussein alayhi salam is reminding him? Because Hur have showed utmost amount of respect to the mother of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Hur was in full love with the family of Ahlib, with the family of the Prophet. Hur recognized the maqam and the status of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. It is this love of Fatima which have brought Hur from the side of the darkness to light. بفاطمة وأبيها وبالها وبنيها وسر المستودع فيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك. يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا قاضي الحاجات يا كافي المهمات إنك على كل شيء قدير. رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة لأرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات, especially the marhumin of the brothers and sisters who are present here, with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.